This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Welcome to this episode of Fairways and Greens. I'm your host, Gaylord Rhodes, the Vegas golf coach. And after 30 years as a golf professional, teacher, and coach, I decided it was time to share the knowledge and insights into the world of golf that I have gathered during my career as a golf professional. And joining me each episode will be a special guest from the golf industry. Together, we will discuss and share their insights, expertise, knowledge, and stories from their career and life in golf as well. Hope you enjoy this episode, and as always, I welcome and appreciate your input and suggestions for future shows, as well as your questions. So feel free to reach out and get in touch with me, the Vegas Golf Coach, by emailing me at info@golfcoachpodcast.com. That's info@golfcoachpodcast.com. Reach out and let us know what's on your mind and what you're thinking about. So let's get started with today's show. I want to welcome everybody into today's show of Fairways and Greens. Today, we're going to continue on with another episode of The Endless Journey of Golf. And these are episodes that I'm putting together that I will intermingle within some of my guest shows. And the purpose of them is just to share some insights into the golf swing and some of the things I've learned over the 30-plus years I've taught golf. So most of the episodes will be related to the golf swing, but some of them will be related to playing the game. And today's show, I'm going to kind of focus in a little bit on instructions and possibly, you know, how to take a lesson or what to look for in an instructor and what's important, I think, more than anything in the golf swing. And I think there's some key principles that would help all my students. You know, when I bring a new student in, you know, I do a question and answer session with them. And I believe that it's without understanding what's going on inside of them and what kind of concepts they're thinking about, that it's very difficult to start a program that's going to help them. And I do believe ball flight laws are important. I believe if after you've worked with me for at least, you know, two or three sessions, that if you don't understand what causes you to hit it right, left, and straight, I really haven't done my job. And so, you know, the golf swing is basically an endless journey for those that have the passion and want to play this game and end up playing it for most of their life. And we all want to get better. I don't care what level we play in this game, whether you're a scratch golfer or a pro or a 30 handicapper, you know, when you have the passion and what drives you is to get better, and you're always looking for ways to get better. And I unfortunately, I think there's a lot of instruction out there today that's kind of geared up more for the professionals that kind of mirror images what they're trying to do. And I don't think most amateurs are capable of making that type of athletic swing. You know, the ability of these top athletes like Dustin Johnson, for instance, who's now won three times in a row, who I think is one of the best athletes out there. This guy works out in golf-specific, you know, routines twice a day, 7 days a week. And obviously, the results are showing. I mean, he now has the mental part of the game down. He's not beating himself. He believes in himself. And he's decided to take it to another level. And he will do this for as long as that's his desire. And he will dominate golf. And it's a just amazing show of athleticism. And it was really nice to watch him this week. You know, for the third week in a row he's played, he's won. And it inspires me to go out and work harder in many ways. But in reality, most of my students come in, as I was talking about. And so the first thing I ask them is, well, you know, what exactly is it that you want, that you think you are thinking about in your golf swing? I mean, what is your concept of the golf swing? What are you working on? I need to know what level of instruction that you're seeking and what your desire is. I want to just, you know, discover your concepts of the golf swing so that I can take those concepts and I can enhance them and help you understand why your ball goes left, right, and straight, and what the key concepts that you're not understanding that can help you improve and get better. So my goal as a teacher, as a coach, is to help you on your journey of golf discover the things that will help you improve. And so obviously the first thing I look at and the first thing I ask him is, well, if you want to get this ball airborne, do you hit the bottom, middle, or the top? And I would say 85-90% of the time with newer golfers, it's, hey, you hit the bottom to get it up. And that concept alone is going to create nothing but frustration for their entire golfing career, because it is not how the golf club works. It's not, and it's a misconception of how you get the ball in the air. And if you don't understand the dynamics of impact and the way the golf club is designed, for hundreds of years, it's had the irons have had forward shaft lean. And I know that, and I've heard this to be true, is it's that when Sam Sweden once was answered what he thought about in the golf swing, his response was, I just try to return the golf club back to its starting position. And that starting position has forward shaft lean. The truth is, most amateurs are exposed to the game, and the ball's sitting on the ground. It's not moving. It's not a reactive sport. And so they have to make some kind of a motion with their body to get that ball moving toward the target. And the misconception is, if you're trying to hit the bottom of the ball, you're going to struggle. It's very, very hard to time a golf swing to catch the bottom of the ball perfectly. And so consequently, your bottom of your swing arc is always going to be behind the ball. When you swing up, you can hit it straight, but most of your misses are going to go right. And when you swing down, you can hit it with more authority, because you have the ability to potentially compress it better and let the loft of the club lift it. But your miss, if you swing left, will be left. At least it will start left. And so if you can understand the basic concepts of the swing in terms of the geometry of it, it's a circular motion, and that balance and weight transfer are paramount to good golf. All great golfers have good footwork. They have great balance at the finish. They're allowing and creating and learning a motion, a balanced motion that allows them to swing the golf club through the ball with forward shaft lean and reach the low point of their golf swing in the proper position, which is something I'll discuss about in a minute. And so I think to educate my students about the simple concepts of, it's a circular motion. The lowest point in a circle is below the center, where that center is in a golf swing, and how to help you transfer your weight and release the golf club and get you in a better impact position. And those are the things I focus in. And sometimes I have to start with just overall motion. I mean, I get a total beginner in there and they're chopping at it flat footed and they have no concept of what a golf swing really is and how the golf club works. And so, sometimes you have to start with educating them about the circle, the geometry. It's a circular motion. The golf club is designed with as different lengths. Your swing of your circle or the plane of your circle will be more upright with shorter clubs and flatter. But in reality, if you can set up in the same position and you can create a balanced motion that allows you to return the golf club as well as you can to a proper impact position, you're going to play better. And I think the misconception of many misconceptions in golf, and I think there's way too much instruction that breaks down the swing and into too many parts. And the reality is a motion has no parts. It doesn't have positions. And yet with video, a lot of instructors stop and they show you, where you are and where you should be and da, da, da. But, the truth is you're just looking at a millisecond moment in time. And, you can justify anything you want with stop action in a motion. But the reality is, my goal is to get them to finish in a balanced finish position, not falling over. And if I have to take the ball out of the equation to do that, that's going to be my focus in the beginning. And I'm going to give all of my students drills to help them with motion, with educating their hands, with flowing through the shot, with focusing on the target, which is, it's a target game. It's not a hit the ball game. And unfortunately, most beginners learn that their learning curve is about trying to get the ball, hitting the ball and getting it airborne. And consequently, they develop all these compensations based on bad information or a misunderstanding of how you get the ball in the air. And consequently, they come to their instructor, and it takes some reprogramming in most cases, 90% of the time. There are students that come to me that really have developed a really good flow into the backswing, and they're moving the club in front of them with the hands in front, elbows down, club on plane. But the concept of forward motion has been left aside. So really those students are pretty simple. We just work on reaching the proper impact position. Most of them don't understand where the low point in the golf swing is. And from a standpoint of geometry, we have this circular motion we're trying to create around our body. And for years, you know, everybody said keep the left arm straight. Well, there's a reason for that. It's not an imperative. But for hundreds of years, it was, I believe golf was taught kind of as a left-sided game. And the reason is because the center of the golf swing for all golfers is below the front shoulder, if you're left-handed, it's the right hand, it's the right shoulder. If you're right-handed, it's where your left arm connects to your shoulder. That would be the true bottom or the radius of the circle. So a circle has a low point, it's below the center, and the center in golf happens to be the front shoulder joint. And so, you know, in most cases, with a student who's been playing for a while, I asked them, could you show me where you would be at the proper impact position? And I have yet to have anyone really get into a proper impact position. And once I show them where they're supposed to be and the light bulb goes off, then we have a chance to try to help them move in forward or transfer their weight better so that they can literally release the club closer and closer to the proper impact position. Most amateurs throw the club head away early. They start the downswing with improper sequencing. They typically are using their arms and hands, and I describe the arm as from the elbow down. I believe the upper part of the arm is part of the shoulder and should stay connected for the most part. You know, there's width in the backswing, so the right arm will come off the body, but in reality, most people are wrapping the club around their body. They're turning instead of rotating in the golf swing. You cannot turn on 2 feet. And it's frustrating to hear a lot of instructors and my students say, well, I'm trying to turn to the right and I'm trying to turn to the left. Well, basically, you know, one of my mentors, George Knutson, who I thought had one of the most incredible swings in the world, and I was blessed to get my hands on his video way back in the day, and Randy was a big advocate of George, read his book, and what I understood was that, you know, the body, there are two pivot points on the ground, and so you must rotate your spine and your shoulders between your feet, between your two pivot points. And if you can rotate to load and keep the hands and arms in front of you on plane, so to speak, then you're going to have a great chance of reversing the weight and basically just standing up on your front foot to release the arms and hands. So you're trying to rotate to load the power, and you're trying to transfer your weight and stand up tall at the finish to unload it. And that's simple, and I get that. It's not complicated. And how you do that is another story. But the reality is, if I can teach you that, and I can teach you why you hit your ball to the right and to the left and straight, and you have a concept of what causes in your swing, what causes you to hit it left, right, and straight, and top it and hit it fat, and which is, by the way, is the same miss. It's swinging up on it from your back foot and trying to help it up. But in reality, if I can help you with those things, then I think you have the opportunity to, on your own, with guidance and with a set of eyeballs, together we can help you achieve a better golf swing. And I believe that for particularly students that have played for a long time, and I would say this would be literally for everyone, is that if you can figure out one or two drills that will help you improve your balance, help you get the club on plane, help you educate your hands, that drills away from the golf ball, eyes closed, barefooted, working on balance and motion, and allowing the body and the arms to flow together and create an incredible swinging motion. I mean, there's not another sport in golf in all other sports, including golf, weight transfer is part of the equation. I mean, it's amazing how in a reactive sport, people people will instinctively create a proper throwing motion. Anyone with any kind of athletic ability can throw a baseball, can bowl a golf ball, but every one of them requires a weight transfer. And in golf, the transfer of the weight from the back foot or from the back pivot point or from wherever you load it, the ball of your foot, the inside of your hip, whatever you feel that allows you to transfer your weight back to the front foot will allow you to now release your arms and hands and the golf club down through the ball and with more of a descending blow, compressing it and reaching low point, hopefully as close to the true low point as possible. The reason the pros are so good is they compress the ball and they achieve low point consistently. So their yardages are consistent. They're creating a repetitive motion that allows them to center the ball on the club face, compressing it, and then after low point in the golf swing, the club has to go left. It's a circular motion. I think one of the questions I always ask is, well, if you want to hit this ball to the target, where do you swing the golf club? And most of my amateurs will tell me, well, you swing the club at the target. And that's not true. It's a circular motion. And it's on an inclined plane. But it, in truth, the golf swing in a perfect plane would move. The golf club would move in a straight line. And for those of you who don't understand that concept, it's simply the ball sits on a target line, and that target line goes in both directions, infinity. And if you move the golf club and you keep the face looking at pointing square to that path, it's going to move to the inside as you rotate, but it's going to still be pointing at the target line. Then parallel to it at waist high, then the bottom of the club will be pointing at it at the top, and as you come down, it drops into the slot. You're back at in the butt of the club is pointing at the ball. Then you square it up to end point, and as you release through the low point, the club has to track back up on that target line, which requires it, which in a circular motion. So it moves left once it reaches the low point in the golf swing. The golf club should move left, and if you've ever watched a golf tournament, and you've got a camera angle out in the fairway looking back at the tee, I promise you that everything you see, that golf club goes left. And it looks like, if you don't understand the concept of the circular motion, it looks like the guy just creamed it to the left. And in reality, you got to swing left to hit it straight. You've got to close the circle. And the ball's already gone by the time the club reaches low point and begins to go left. But as it comes in, it's slightly open. It compresses the ball, and then the ball's gone, and the club face continues around to finish its circle. And, you know, it's an interesting concept because there's so many contradictions in this game. You know, you got to hit down to get it up. You got to swing left to hit it straight. And so it's no wonder that so many people get so confused. And most of it has to do with their misconceptions of how the golf club works, how you're supposed to swing it, and what's the best way for you to accomplish that. And so education, I think, is the key to good instruction. I try to educate my students into the dynamics of impact. I try to educate them about the circle, about the on plane and off plane. I try to educate them into balance. I would most definitely believe that most of my students that are beginners come to me and their equipment is very ill-suited for them. And consequently, they will make compensations to overcome it, which limits their ability to improve. And a lot of them say, well, when I get better, I'll get golf equipment. You know, and I would say to them, buy one club that you know fits you and rewards your motion and just work with that club. And that's with a beginner that comes to me that doesn't own clubs. That's basically what I do. If they're going to come back next week for another session, I will make them a club out of my Henry Griffiths fitting system, and I will give it to them, and I will tell them, go swing this golf club. And particularly if they're going to go to the range and hit balls. If they're not going to go hit balls, I just give them something that allows them to stand up tall, that is suitable for them and enables them to make a swinging motion to balance. And then when we introduce the ball, we evaluate if that club is actually the right one, and then we tweak it. And that gives them a chance to really improve. And, You know, I fought bad lie angles for many years early in my career. And it, when I discovered how off I was and switched, it took me almost another 18 months to get confidence back in my golf swing. But suddenly, rather than hitting this weak over-the-top fade, which I had to do because my lie angles were so flat, I was able to finally release and learn how to hit draws, and my shot making got better. And it was worth the fight. And that was about the time when I turned pro, because I realized that how important equipment was. I was fascinated with teaching. And after my first year in the PGA, I decided I wanted to be a full-time teacher. And then I sought out the best in the world to teach me. And I was pretty horrible back then. And, you know, but I learned over time that it's all about building relationships with your students, gaining their trust and giving them the information they need piece by piece so they don't get overwhelmed. But to if they're going to go out there and put all this time and effort in and beat balls, why not give them the truth about the golf swing? I mean, the truth about the rotation, the truth about impact, the truth about how the club works, and the truth about the geometry of it. And then work with them and help them progress on their own. It's their journey. But give them the understanding of why they hit it left, right, and straight. And do things that will allow them to, without thinking too much, change their direction, change the path of the golf club, give them drills to work on, challenge them in different ways, teach them impact. I think one of the greatest training aids out there is the impact bag. You know, I just think it's underused and understood. I think impact is one of the major areas in golf that's misunderstood. And I believe that you can really help students by sharing the knowledge that they need to help them get to the next level, and to not overwhelm them with what you know, all your knowledge of the golf swing. But for a student to come in and spend an hour and a half with me, I want them to know when they leave that this is the areas that you have misconceptions in. These are the areas that we need to work on, and this is how we're going to do it. And that starts the process. And then when they come back, if they've done the work, you will see improvement. If they have fallen back, and a lot of the guys, you know, they come to the lesson, and then, of course, they're going to play in 2 days, and they work on this for a day or two, and then they go to the range, and it's not exactly because it's a complete different feel and different concept to them. They're overthinking it. They're trying to put the club in a place in the backswing rather than just allowing it to flow there. And consequently, they may not play as well, and they'll revert back to their old pattern of, well, this works and this will get me through the round. And that's great. And I get that. We're all guilty of it, but to put a plan in place, a long-term plan. And I believe that, you know, I know with my students, my high school students that came to me when they were 13 and 14, I said, look, we're looking at a 3-year program to get you to become the golfer you want to become. And you will get better. You will start to, but you still have to put all this in terms of the golf swing is a small part of the game of golf. To improve your golf swing motion is important to play at the highest level and to stay on top of it and continue to monitor it. But to play and score at the highest level, you've got to play to learn. You've got to get out there on the golf course. You've got to learn how to manage your game. You've got to learn your strengths and weaknesses on the golf course. And then you've got to work on your weaknesses and reinforce your strengths. And if putting is one of your strengths, bless you, you're a match for anybody. And for the kids that I get that just putt lights out, it's just fascinating because they have no fear. And so I stay away from that. I just, you know, it's all about reading greens and targeting. It's never about the mechanics of what they're doing, because they instinctively know how to get the face on the ball pointing in the direction of their target line. And they make a lot of putts. And, you know, I just enjoy watching people progress and get better. And, you know, I have a passion for my students that have a passion for the game. I mean, I get a lot of people that are out there shopping for discounts and Groupons and want a deal here and want a deal there. And that's great. You know, come see me. But, you know, 90% of those people come for one lesson, and I asked them, "What are you committed to getting better?" And then, "Well, I just wanted to have this one lesson because my boyfriend bought it for me," or whatever. Then, you know, I tell them realistically, "Listen, I will give you a couple drills that will help you at this point in your game. If you'll go do these drills every day for 5 or 10 minutes at home, just swing the golf club, you will notice in several weeks that you're getting better." And at that point, if you really truly decide you want to take on this game, then come back and we'll put a program together that'll help you. And I believe that impact is the same for chipping, pitching, and the full swing. There has to be a pivot. There has to be weight transfer. You can preset it in the short game, which makes it so much easier. But in reality, impact is the same. There's two hinges in the golf swing. There's the left. There's your left arm or right arm if you're left-handed, and there's the you know, left wrist or right wrist. There's two hinges. There's the left arm and the left wrist for right-handed golfers. And if you understand how those hinges work, you know, at some point that would be beneficial. But to just get into a position to hit a chip shot and release the club at low point with forward shaft lean is the impact, the same impact you want in your full swing and the same effect you want in your pitching game. The only shot in golf that doesn't require pivot, and I'm using pivot instead of turn, and I'm using weight transfer, is putting. Putting's the only thing that where your body stays still as you move the golf club with your shoulders and hands and arms. And there's no weight transfer. There's no pivot. But every other shot, even the shortest chip shot, and it was requires rotation. Not only would you kind of, but you can preset, you can open up your hips, you can put all your weight on your front foot, but you're still going to rotate and then release with weight, and never stop turning, never stop your release. Continue through the chip shot with your release. You know, I just think people just stand there and try to flip it with their hands, and it's frustrating. And that same flip you see in the short game is the same flip they have in the golf swing. And when you look at it on video, which I use video as a tool to reinforce change, I show them what they're doing when they get there. I don't point out what's bad and what's wrong. I just say, so here's where you are now. And I might mention, well, and you see how at the bottom of your swing, the club head is way past your hands and you flipped it through the ball. And that's why your distances are shorter, whatever their issue is. And a lot of them want to hit it far. Why do I only hit it this far? Why do I hit it the same distance with every club? Well, it's because you're using the wrong motor in your swing. And, you know, when you limit yourself to your hands and arms, the golf swing is going to be difficult. And until you understand the importance of the whole picture, and the importance of impact, you're going to be struggling to find the truth about your golf swing. And so that being said, I don't want to go too much further into this today, but I just want to let people know that there are some key concepts. Everyone comes to me as a student in a different place. Some are further along, some are just beginners, and yet in most cases, 95% of them don't understand the dynamics of the motion. They don't understand the impact position. They don't understand how to load and unload properly. They don't understand the importance of swinging through the ball to the target. They've made the ball the target, and the game becomes difficult. You know, and to teach someone who has played the game for 2 or 3 years on their own is as big a challenge as it is to teach a beginner, because that person who's now breaking 90 and wants to get better has created a golf swing motion based on compensations and misconceptions, and he's done this for 3 years, and he suddenly thinks he's going to be able to reverse this in one lesson or two lessons. It's not going to happen. It's going to take hard work. And so realistically, I have to find out where and how much time they have and what they're willing to do and if they can swing a golf club every day for 5 or 10 minutes to develop a new motion and to reprogram what they've been doing. Because quite honestly, if you put the ball down in front of them, they're not going to be able to accomplish this on their own. The ball is going to interfere. They're going to react to what the ball does. And, you know, I just see it as a frustrating part of the game for them. They come for one lesson, They go away, they get some information, and they go and they might do it a little bit. And when they don't get rewarded right away, they fall back into what they know and what they're comfortable with. And unless they're willing to commit to some long-term work, and I'm, you know, come see me every 2 weeks or 3 weeks, but work on something that you can know is going to help move you further along your path in golf. It's a lifelong journey. It's a passion that many of us get hooked on this game. It's the game of a lifetime. It's the greatest game of all, and it's just a passion for me to help others and to have been doing this for 35 years and to seen every possible thing you can imagine. And yet every day somebody comes in and surprises me again. And, you know, I get stuck sometimes. I get to a point with some of my students where, hey, oh my gosh, you know, we need to stop and think about this for a little bit because, you know, this is something I've never seen before. And you know, bless their hearts. I mean, I know what they're going through. I have struggled with this game from the time I was 10 years old. I have battled it and won it and lost it. And it's just what keeps you coming back. You know, in reality, you've got to play to learn. Okay. The golf swing is a part of it, but I just encourage my students, particularly my beginners, I try to get them on the golf course. And the fact that I have two indoor simulators that have 60 golf courses, I literally, if I get a beginner that really wants to learn how to play this game, and a lot of them come to me and they really want to learn because it's important to their work or their spouse or their friends that they play. And so I get them. I try to get them on the golf course immediately, indoors, if possible, just for, you know, have them play one hole, have them play two holes. I mean, they don't even have a concept of how far they hit the golf club or what a chip or a putt is, or how do I now all of a sudden they're, you know, 10 yards from the green. All they know is a full swing. And so it's very interesting. And once I get them into the game, if they get hooked on the game, we've just made another golfer for life. And that's, I think, what my goal is just to bring new people into the game or help people that are into the game and passionate about it to just get better. And, you know, it's hand a golf club to a kid and you've got a partner for life. And that's the advertisement. I really enjoy that. And I just believe if you can bring more people into this game. And I think as golf professionals, there was a period back in the late 90s and when we kind of took our eyes off of growing the game. And it was a passion of mine. I was out, you know, as a regional training director for Henry Griffiths, I was out teaching teachers how to teach and fit in the early 2000s. I've been teaching. We did golf schools. I mean, so many different things. And you know, just to bring more people into the game. And I think in many ways, the PGA and the golf professionals kind of dropped the ball on that. And it was because the industry changed. The baby boomers were driving it. It was thriving. And, you know, in foresight, you know, I worked with juniors. My deal was bringing more kids into the game. And those kids now I'm playing golf with today, and they're in their 30s and 40s, and they're teaching their kids how to do it. And somewhere along the line, when we stopped, you know, developing the junior programs in our area, it, you know, the game has changed, and now we're back in the first tee and all these different programs. We're working with disabled veterans. I'm blessed to have so many incredible friends in this industry and I'll bring them back in. And I think, you know, for the journey of golf, this is, my first two episodes and we will continue on this journey. And I hope to be bringing in some really cool people. There's so many cool things coming on. I mean, technology and industry but just keep one thing in mind. Equipment affects motion, and proper motion is fundamental to golf, and a balanced swing motion should be the main goal for everyone out there, is to develop, to allow the arms and hands and body to work together to create a balanced swinging motion that brings the golf club in to the best possible impact position you can achieve. And the more athletic you are, obviously, the farther you're going to hit it. But that doesn't mean that you can't improve every aspect of your game just by understanding that it's just a simple balanced motion. It's a swinging motion. It's not a bunch of parts and pieces. There's only alignments, and once you get the alignment set up and understand the dynamics of the motion, I think you'll improve. So here today, I'm going to say goodbye, and I hope this was helpful for those people out there. I'm not sure what kind of audience I'm going to get on this particular type of episode, but I can promise you that my passion and desire to help and to share will continue. And for this episode, I'm going to say adios and fairways and greens to all my listeners. Well, folks, it's time to say goodbye to this episode of Fairways and Greens. Hope you enjoyed the show. And if you would like to subscribe to the show, just head over to golfcoachpodcast.com. That's www.golfcoachpodcast.com. And don't forget to reach out with your questions and your input on the show to info@golfcoachpodcast.com. So reach out with your questions and anything you'd like to add or any suggestion on future shows to info@golfcoachpodcast.com. And you can find me, the Vegas Golf Coach, and a link to my blogs, coaching centers, and programs at www.vegasgolfcoach.com. That's www.vegasgolfcoach.com. So goodbye for now, and here's to finding your share of fairways and greens in your journey through life and golf.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.